What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devo, and this is with Trust in Jesus Ministries. We are going through Genesis, and we are on the part where finally Esau meets Jacob. Jacob meets Esau. They get together. We already talked about how he wrestled with God. He has been changed, man. His name is no longer Jacob. You will no longer be called Jacob, but you will be called Israel. So let's see what's going on, man. If you haven't checked it out, go ahead and read it. We are on chapter 33, 1 through 4, and Genesis. And if you haven't read it yet, go ahead and stop the tape, check it out, see what it has to say, come back, and we'll discuss the four questions. If you've already read it, let's jump on into it, man. So what do we got here? What's being said? Well, it says that Jacob grabbed his family, man, and he saw Esau. He saw him coming. And so he grabbed his family and he lined them up. From the maidservants. He lined them up from the maidservants up to his final wife, which is Rachel, and his son, Joseph. And he lined them all up. And then it says he passed before them. So he got in front of them. Remember we talked about last time how he may have still been a little bit shy, a little bit bad, a little bit timid because he allowed his family to go before him, that he could still be that scared Jacob, that same old Jacob. We've seen ways in which he's changed. But then at the same time, it's like, come on, Jacob. How you going to do this? Your own family before you, man. You're slipping back into those old ways. But we see after the incident that he had with God, another encounter where actually God says that Jacob said about God in this place called a Peniel. And he said that I have seen God and lived. I've seen him face to face and lived. And some understand that. And I wish I would have said this in the last one, but some understand that is not that he lived whenever he saw God, but with the fact that he actually is going to prosper, that God has or delivered him is what the real word is. And it says that God has delivered him from Esau. And so he gained confidence because of that encounter with God when he wrestled with him. It's not the fact that it was God's face whom he seed, but that in that encounter, he realized or he knew that if God didn't kill him there, then he ain't gonna die at the sight of his brother. And so that's what we're about to check out right here. And so he passed before his people. I mean, he got in front of them. And then when he got in front of them, it says that he began to bend down and bow down and honor his brother. And when his brother saw him, woo, what happened? This is the surprise right here, is that Esau ran to him, embraced him, hugged him, and kissed him. And they both cried. They wept with joy. Ain't that something, man? Ain't that something? See, that's the thing about this incident here, is we get to see a powerful reuniting of estranged brothers. 20 years. The last time Esau saw Jacob, the last time Jacob saw Esau, the threat of murder was at hand. Their revenge was at hand. But now we see nothing but embracing and love. You know who this reminds me of, right? It's Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus, man, the one who forgives us for all of our iniquities. Because Jacob is the one who is in offense here. Jacob is the one who has done wrong or has crossed Esau so much so that he might rightly deserve to take his revenge. But after all of these years, Esau does not do so, but embraces his brother and loves his brother. See, when we are against God, when we are serving contrary to what he'd call us to do, when we are spitting in his face, when we are enemies of the throne, he doesn't give us the due penalty that we deserve, but embraces us and kisses us and cries with us. That's what Jesus does. That's so powerful, dude. That is so powerful. Just to see that Esau representing kind of the thing that we are to do, the thing that God has done for us. And so we are to reciprocate that with others. Anyway, what does this scripture say about God? Well, it says that he's faithful because he has delivered Jacob to safety. And in that passage we read earlier, we talked about how it says that, and he has delivered me. And then also we see that God and the promises that he continues to make to Jacob, to Israel, that he will bring him home safely back to his father's land. He has done. He has not done that completely yet, but this is the last obstacle for which is to stand in his way that he can get home. And God is faithful to deliver him from that. What do we see about man here? Is that, man, we need to be changed by our encounters with God. Man, we need to be changed. And you really, a need is not like, when I say need, I mean change for the good. Because we are going to be changed. You cannot come face to face with Yahweh and be unchanged. You're either going to grow harder towards him or you're going to melt like wax. And you're going to be able to find joy and comfort in him. But regardless of the situation, we need to be changed for better. We need to see God and let that dictate who we are. As James says, he says, man, when we look at the perfect word of God, man, we see who we are. And let's not forget it. Let's not forget it. We also need to find confidence and trust in his presence. See, it's amazing that now, that he was behind his family. He was lagging up the very behind after all of the presents, after all of the gifts, after all of the camels and the all that stuff, his servants, and then even his own family, he was behind them. But once he found the powerful presence of God. See, I should have added that as a attribute, or what is this saying about God? Because he's got a powerful presence. The presence of God is extraordinary, and there's nothing like it. But we need to find confidence in it. We should trust in it. Just as Jacob, when he latched on to that, to God, he wouldn't let go. He found his security and hope in him that he can ride the storm, that he can make it through this ordeal with Esau. He said he was going to be delivered, and he was. Let's find confidence in him. So how do we apply these truths to our lives? Well, first off, let's trust in the promises of God to dictate our actions in our life. You see, because Jacob knew the promise of God, and he was confirmed again. And a side note on the application is that, man, it is okay for us to shrink away every once in a while. We don't want to, obviously, but we know that God is there for us. And when we call upon him, he will be there. We find and gain strength. It's okay to falter as long as we know where we're grabbing hold of. It's okay to fall when we know how we're getting back up. Because we know that Christ, we know that God, Yahweh, the one who has saved us, is the one in who we can turn to when we have these questions, these fears, these doubts, these all of these things that come to us, man. We go to him. We go to him. But let those promises, now let's get back to where we were. Let those promises, let the things that God has spoken over us, the things he has said through his word, because we have his word now, let those things dictate our direction and our action in our life. Because where there is fear, surrender it to the trustworthy hands of God. Where there is fear, surrender it to the trustworthy hands of God. That's what we're here about. That's what we're studying. That's what we're doing all this for, so we can recognize that God is infinitely worthy of our trust. The faithfulness that he has, the control that he has. Man, if we don't put it in his hands, man, if we don't put these things in his hands, it's hard to have confidence in anything. Hey, I appreciate you guys for listening. And today, let us act like Jesus does in forgiveness towards others. Let us act like Jesus has. As he's forgiven us, man, let us forgive others. Thank you, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.